I'm going to read for you from Mark chapter 8, if you'd like to follow along. We'll start at verse 34, which that one verse will be the text for the sermon. I want to read it in context and look at just five verses there by way of reading it. Mark 8, verse 34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever..." Same word used in verse 35 and 34. "Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I call your attention to verse 34 and ask you, based on that verse, who is Jesus talking to? You'll notice that the Bible says, "when he had called," and specifically mentions the people, his disciples, and whosoever. So that means we are all included in this. And what did he say? Whosoever. "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And I want to call your attention to those highlighted words. Come after me and follow me. Because what God is doing here is teaching us how to be close to God. Do you want to be close to God? Or maybe you're saved and you'd say, "You know, I'm satisfied with just being saved. How close to God do you want to be? What are you willing to do in order to be closer to God? How much of your life are you willing to adjust in order to be closer to God? Well, the best answers to each of those questions is not what we think or not what I say. The best answer to each of those questions is what God says. So we're going to look at that today. I could ask the question, are you following Jesus today? I'm not asking, are you saved? There's something much more here than being saved. Certainly salvation is a part of it, no question about that. But it's not just a matter of being saved. That's not the point. No one can follow Jesus without first being saved from sin. So it's certainly included. But that's not all that there is here. But the question might be, are you following Jesus today? And I would encourage you to recognize my brother and my sister, assuming that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It is possible to be saved and yet drift away from God. Being close to God is not automatic. Being saved is something we can't do. All we can do is trust God to do it for us. But being close to God is something that we have a very essential and vital part in. For example, look at this verse that Pastor James wrote. The word nigh, I think you probably know, but in case anyone wouldn't, the word nigh means near. And that word is used twice. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It describes a close relationship. James was not writing to unsaved people. He was writing to believers. There's a strong implication here that either we draw nigh to the Lord or we remain aloof, distant, drifting away. We understand this in life, don't we? We understand that it's possible to be right here in this room with people sitting all around you and yet to be rather lonely. Because you don't feel a closeness with someone here. Maybe someone's missing. Maybe you're visiting, like my friend Eliud. I don't know, but it's very possible to be in a great crowd and yet to feel lonely, a lack of closeness. It's very possible, don't we all recognize, that in a marriage, it's very possible for two people to be married, legally married. Biblically, they're not two, but they are one. But it's very possible for two people to be married and yet not be close. It's very possible for two people to be married and yet not have a close relationship that comes only from openness and humility and mutual respect and mutual appreciation. It's very possible for a close couple to drift from each other in time. Whenever a marriage gets on automatic pilot, it is on the way down to crash. That is the way it is with our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord. Or I could make it a little simpler if I say relationship with God can never change. If you are His child, you are His child. You can't change that. He won't change that. Relationship is permanent, based on birth into God's kingdom, acquired solely and completely by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's relationship. But fellowship, on the other hand, closeness, that has much to do with us. Every relationship takes effort, even our relationship with God. This verse teaches us that we can be as close to God as we want to be. Is it not astonishing to us that this verse clearly teaches that in some way that is beyond what we can understand but intellectually, but we can certainly experience, that in some way God responds to us. We take the step of drawing closer to Him, and we find that He meets us. He doesn't wait for us. He doesn't sit on some throne somewhere and say, you know, we don't have to say how many steps before the king, and then He tells us how many. Like the kids' game is. But rather, we can go to Him, and we find that as we go to Him, He is not distant, but rather, He is close. Look at another verse that talks about this idea of closeness. Watch this. Hebrews tells us, let us draw near. Let us draw near. How do we do that? Well, there's four things mentioned here. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies, curious comment, and our bodies washed with pure water. To be close to God requires heart and faith and conscience and even bodies. After all, isn't it the scripture that tells us, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God? Yes, God is concerned about every aspect of our lives. And you know, with all of these, whether it's heart or faith or our conscience or physically, we fail in all those areas, and God wants to help us in every single one of those areas. We have to be close to Him. Here's another verse. Watch this one. And then, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. This is to believers. It's very possible for us as believers to somehow get drowsy. It's a metaphor. You know what it's like to be drowsy. Some of you will experience it in the next 30 minutes. Come on, help me out. That's supposed to be funny. I'm not endorsing it. But you know, it's really possible spiritually to get drowsy. What do you mean? You mean you're in the room, but you're kind of not getting it. The lights are on, but there's nobody home. You know, you're not engaged mentally, spiritually, The songs, it just kind of, we honor God with our lips, but our heart can be far from him. So God is challenging us here. That knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep. Why? Now is our salvation. That is being in heaven. It's nearer than when we believed. We were dealing with this in Sunday school this morning. The idea that we can be born again. We have believed. But there's still aspects of salvation that God is working out. Or we, I should say, working into our lives. He goes on and says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore, here's how we draw nigh. Here is how we draw near. This is how we awake out of sleep. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us take what those who are in darkness give their lives to. And let us renounce that and cast it off and say, no, no, I want to put on the armor of light. I want to put on armor that shields my heart from the real drawing to the material world and all that this world makes available to us and all the glitter and all the glitz and all that we can renounce for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let us put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day. It's exposed. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering wantonness. Not in strife and envying. But watch this last sentence. Only believers can do this. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Only a believer can make that choice to put on Christ and to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The simple choice that we're presented with. The simple choice is that we in our lives day by day by day, moment by moment, as was just sung, we get to make a choice. And the choice is, will I do what Jesus wants? Or will I personally do what Dan wants? Will I think what Jesus thinks? Or will I think what I want to think? What will I do? What will I say? What will I think? That's the simple choice. So what does Jesus tell us to do? How do we get close to him? Well, we must say no to self. There is this need to say no to self. Let me stop for just a moment and just encourage us. Do we recognize how incredibly indulgent we are in this country? I talked to this brother from Kenya this morning that I met visiting with us. He told me a story. We've been in Kenya a couple times, once for over a year. Our second daughter was born there, Sarah. He told me this story about one place where they went and they drilled a well for water. You understand those needs. You've heard of those kinds of things. These are for distant people. They're like Maasai, if you've heard of Maasai. Kind of nomadic. I assume they are as well, you know. He told me that they drilled this well to get fresh water. Wonderful. But why? I asked this question. What did they drink? Where did they get their water before the well? And he said, that is what, it just resonated with him, I could tell. And he said, that is why we did this, because he said, I was there trying to minister the gospel, and I watched children drinking from a muddy stream. My brother and my sister, we need to recognize that in this culture, in America, we are not taught to deny ourselves. We are taught to express ourselves. We are taught to indulge ourselves. We are taught to enjoy ourselves. We are taught, don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. We are taught, you can do anything you set your mind to. You can be anything you want to be. All those things are lies. They're all deceptions. Like, for example, you're never going to be a bird. I don't care how much you want to be. You might act like one, but you're never going to be a bird. Go ahead, flap your wings, right? We understand the simplicity of that. We must deny ourselves. We cannot do our own thing and be close to God. We need to be making choices in order to follow Jesus, in order to be close to God, in order to live for God. Why? Because when we don't make a choice, intentional, deliberate, decisive choices, we just drift along in the stream of this culture. Just the way it is. We just drift along. When we don't make a choice, we live for ourselves, even though we are his children. And so a question could be, will you follow Jesus when it means saying no to yourself? And by the way, I'm not saying you got to be like me. We make our own choices before God for how God leads us and how we live and how we spend money and our house and not the car I drive, that's yours, but the other car that we have. And we make choices about that. We make choices about how we eat and how we dress and that sort of thing. You don't have to be like us, but you have to be what God wants you to be, or else you suffer. In other words, what happens to God's child when he says yes to self? When he says in any area of his life, I don't think so, I don't like that, I'm not going to forgive that person, or I'm not going to love that person, or I'm not going to be patient in this situation, or I'm not going to humble myself, or I'm not going to, you fill in the blank. I just will not be badgered into having to serve in VBS, or sing a song, or go to church, or read the Bible, or pray. That's all legalism. I will not be badgered into all of that. And we throw that term around sometimes, and anything that we don't like to do, we can just say, that's legalism. It's not if the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart to do that, my brother, my sister. What does God do? What does God's child do? What happens to God's child when he says yes to himself? Look. Here's Hebrews 12. He says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, God's children. Here are biblical truths that children in a good, godly family learn and can understand. And God says to you and to me as his child, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. This idea of despise, it's not hate. We use it like that today. We say, I despise cats. I really don't. But you know, or I despise, I don't know, whatever we might say. It tends to mean hatred. That's not the idea here. The concept here is to take it lightly. It's to be kind of dismissive. And God's saying to you and me as the children of God, don't despise, don't dismiss, don't take lightly what's happening in your life. In fact, it may really be God doing that. And he doesn't really want to do that. You make him. It's chastening. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Why? 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 Because God is not punishing his children. God is chastening his children. Vast difference. Punishment is about the past. Chastening is about the future. Don't punish your children. Chasten them. Don't hold their past over them. I'm not talking about in the moment when there's correction needed and that sort of thing. I used to love to say to our children when I had to spank them, when they're old enough to understand, you need a reminder here. You keep struggling with this, you're talking back or you're whatever they're doing. I've talked to you about this. I've been open. I've been clear. I've given you the word of God. But you keep forgetting. You won't forget anymore. Boom! Whatever it was. Laugh with me, okay? Okay, I do. Our children need that. Why did I do that? Because that's how God is with us. And sometimes his chastening, sometimes his rebukes can really tempt us to faint. Why shouldn't we? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges. An amazing word used. Every son whom he receives. God graciously explains to us what he's doing. His chastening and his rebukes. But the reality is, my brother and my sister, some of God's children want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have their cake so that they can eat it sometime in the future, but they also want to eat it right now. And if you eat it, it's gone. You don't have it. And if you want to have it, that's fine, but you can't eat it now. What do I mean by that? How would a believer, one of God's children, want to have their cake and eat it too? That is, a believer can want all the blessings of heaven without giving up any of the pleasures of this life. And that is fake news. That is a false narrative. That has nothing to do. Read in Mark, well, please don't now, but you read in Mark chapter 8, he is making this comment specifically because just a few verses later he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be killed. And he's saying, still want to follow me? Because that's where I'm going. And I have a plan for you too. And it's included. We can want all the blessings of heaven without giving up the pleasures of this life. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We cannot aim for the pleasures of this life because God tells us we need to take up a cross. And Jesus said, let him deny himself. What does that mean? And take up his cross and follow me. So who wants a cross? I mean, we don't think of cross today perhaps in the right way because we think of it like, you know, the baptistry, you know, the decoration, or we think of it as jewelry or something like that, or, you know, something on some monument somewhere or some picture. But that's not what it is. This is not a decoration. This is a lifestyle. This is accepting the spiritual, eternal, unbending truth that if we follow Jesus, we're going to have to pay a price. It's not easy. People aren't going to like it. Not everybody's going to enjoy it. Not everybody's going to affirm it. My brothers and sisters, that is why this place and these times are the opportunity for us to move away from all of that that God has called us to be in the world, but not of the world. And we come out of the world at this time to be with the people of God and to sing songs and to pray prayers and to preach sermons and to give offerings and to encourage and to edify and to help our brothers and sisters in Christ who have come apart from filth to come to holiness for the glory of God. Who wants a cross? Who wants to accept cross-bearing? Those who want to be close to God because there is no other way. What is cross-bearing? It's choosing to live for Jesus instead of self. It's when there's some difficulty in front of us, some hardship, some temptation, some problem in the path of our lives, and we have a choice. We can either say, think, or do this, which is much more comfortable, much more palatable, much more reasonable, much more relevant in our culture. Everybody would understand. No one would fault me. Or we go back to what God says and say, I can't lie here. I can't give in on this. I can't go with the flow. It's going to hell. I'm going to stand out for Jesus. There's no third way to live. It's either Jesus or self. There's no third way. It's either Jesus or self. So, why say no to self and take up a cross? Why would we do that? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Why say no to self? Why take up a cross? Because that's the only way to say yes to Jesus. And we love him. That's why we sing like we did this morning. We love the idea of heaven. We love the idea of being redeemed. We love the idea of telling the story, especially when people want to hear it. We love the idea of the good news of the gospel, that people that are lost, blind, deaf, and dumb to spiritual things, that we can come alongside them just like Jesus came alongside people that were physically blind or dumb or lame. And we can give them the gospel and they can be birthed into the kingdom and now see and hear and walk with God. We have to say no to self to do that. And we do it because we love Him. You know, I think it's very possible for us as God's children to deceive ourselves into thinking that we really don't have to say no to self because we think we're okay. We can kind of think, you know, I usually say yes to Jesus. I pretty much agree with what He wants. I mean, I never defy Him and say, I don't care what you say. But God, my brother and sister, has His ways of testing us. What do we love more, Jesus or self? And Jesus was very clear about what happens to those who follow closely to Him. If the world hate you, you know it hated me first. Hated me before it hated you. That's just the reality of Christian truth. Here's another one, same chapter. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. How about Deacon Stephen? He preached the gospel. Their response, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. How about this? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Read the Bible, read the New Testament, read the promises of God, read the warnings of God. This is close to God. This is following God instead of just, yeah, I'm saved. And so I don't need that anymore because I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. Oh man, I love to sing the songs of Zion. Don't live like it. Do what I want, think what I want, say what I want. It's very possible for the children of God to think they can do that and get by with it and not even understand all the pressures that God graciously brings and will not stop. We're the ones that need to stop. Look at it. Mockings, scourgings, bonds, imprisonment, stoned, slain, sawn asunder, cut in half, destitute, afflicted, tormented. What strong words these are. Will we follow Jesus no matter what it costs, what it requires? Or will we only follow Jesus when He does what we want? If so, then we're not really following Jesus at all. We're trying to get Him to follow us. And sometimes our prayer can reveal that, where the only thing we ever pray about is us. And we have a problem and we say, Lord, get me out of this problem. Remove this problem. Remove this need. That problem, that need, is probably the answer to our sincerest prayers. He wants to show Himself strong in the midst of the trials of life. Consider several disciple issues that involve saying no to self and saying yes to Jesus. I'll go with these very quickly. Salvation. Look to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Step number one in following God, being close to God, is to be saved. Then how about repentance? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not legalism. That's God. God wants us to identify with a local church. Watch this. Then, same context, they that gladly received His word were baptized. And what's the next step? The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How can you add something to nothing? There was a church. There were believers. And God added them in. That's membership. That's identification. That is ownership. That is involvement. That is saying, I'm not just going to be like a spectator that comes to the game and watches and leaves. And I'm not just going to be like a patron that goes to a restaurant and eats and leaves. I want to be one of the cooks, man. I've not said this for a long time, but it's quite true. That the church people, we are not, this is not to be a museum for saints. It's to be a hospital for sinners. But brother and sister, once you've gotten saved, you don't need the hospital. You need to be the nurse. You need to be the physician's assistant. You need to be the doctor. You need to be the surgeon. You need to put on the uniform, man, and be a part of it. That's God's plan. That's normal. How about this? Daily Bible and prayer, they're essential to talking with God, to walking with God. How can we have a close relationship without talking and listening to each other? We can't. There's more. I'll just go as quickly as I can. Look at this one. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This is normal Christianity. Telling others the gospel is the normal result of walking with Jesus. Just test it. What do you talk about? Every one of us talks about what we think about. It's what's in our heart. It's what comes out. You know, you read a book and it's a really good book, or you watch a movie, it's a really good movie, or you have a grandchild, stay away from them. No, but I mean, you know, yeah, something really cool happens. You know, you get engaged, you get married. What do you want to talk about? You get a new job, you get a new car. I mean, it's how you've worked at it. Whatever it is, you want to talk about it. When we're close to God, we want to talk to Him, and we want to talk about Him, telling others the gospel. Look at this. Wow. Let us think about somebody other than ourselves. Oh no, it doesn't say it quite like that. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then he talks about church services. He says, not forsaking the assembling. Literally, that is the churching of ourselves together. Don't forsake that. Don't say, I've had enough. Rather, don't do that, even though there are tons of people that do that, as the manner of some is. That is, this is so popular in this country today by those who claim Christ. And that can happen to us, as the manner of some is. Rather, look at, he says, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He started with, consider one another. He concludes with, exhorting one another. Listen, listen, dear friend, if you come to church just for you, that's selfish. God is telling us, think about someone else. Exhort someone else. Did you ever come to this building and drive up a few minutes before the service was to start and say, whoa, not many people tonight? And that's what you can do your part to never let that happen, because you just show up. And then you talk to somebody. We pray, God, encourage us. You can do that. You can answer that, or you can be the answer to that prayer. That's the idea. We need the church. How about this? Walking with Jesus involves serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. Investing, giving money concerning the collection. Every one of you lay by Him in store and investing in the church of God. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want to read a song to you. Because following Jesus means saying no to self and saying yes to Jesus. There's a hymn that we sing sometimes. It's about cross bearing and what it means to bear a cross. It's for number 399 in your book if you'd like to look. Jesus, it's a prayer. I my cross have taken all to leave and follow thee. Destitute? Maybe. Despised? Perhaps. Forsaken? Could be. Thou from here on my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition other than Christ. All that I have sought and hoped and known, yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own. Let the world despise and leave me. They left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me. They're not like man untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate and friends may shun me, show thy face and all is bright. Hasten on from grace now to glory, heaven, armed by faith, winged by prayer, heaven's eternal days before me, God's own hand shall guide me there. Soon shall close my earthly mission, swift shall pass my pilgrim days. Hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight, prayer to praise. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'd like to go through this song again. We're not going to sing it. Let's say it. Would you do that with me? Maybe you don't like to sing. You don't have to. We're not going to sing it. I want to say it. I'll lead us. Stay with me. Maybe we can get the words even a little bit better if we don't just hear it or see it, but we say it. Would you do that with me? Take your hymnal if you can't read it. Here you go. All together. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shalt be. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought and hoped and known. Yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven are still my own. Let the world despise and leave me, they've left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me, they're not like man untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate, friends may shun me, show thy face, and all is bright. Hasten on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer, heaven's eternal days before me, God's own hand shall guide me there. Soon shall close my earthly mission, swift shall pass my pilgrim days, hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight, and prayer to praise. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.